We're in Camberley, and I'm talking to Bill Chapman, and we're in a local coffee shop. I would have liked to have met at Pine Ridge Golf Club, but Bill is such a busy guy that I could only get him in Camberley. You can't have it all. Now, Bill is the Borough and County Councillor representing Camberley East, and I wanted to talk to Bill as part of our person profile. Obviously, we've got the county elections coming up on May the 2nd. We've already done quite a few of these with some of the other candidates. And the first question I wanted to ask you, Bill, is what the difference is between the borough and the county council? Because I think that quite a lot of residents don't even know there is a difference.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Paul. Well, to some extent, it doesn't matter really to residents what the difference is, because they should contact their local councillor and be routed to the appropriate person. But very briefly, the borough chief and most important functions, in my view, are dealing with planning applications for changes to Camberley and to Surrey Heath, dealing with licensing applications, typically alcohol licensing applications. And then in addition to that, there are things like collecting the rubbish and the recycling.
That's a matter very close to your wife's heart.
It is, absolutely, yes. So, yes, it's part of her portfolio, and she's very proud that, and quite rightly so, that the borough, thanks to the residents, of course, scores highest, actually, on the dry recycling. So there's that. And then, finally, a smaller department, but the community services part of the council is also very, very important, and I can talk a bit about that later on. As far as county's concerned, it has a very large, very wide reach. It's got the numbers are really quite astounding.
The budget is enormous.
It is, yeah. So the budget is 1.7 billion per annum, and of that, round about slightly under half is for the schools, and so largely that just passes through county. County provides some services to the schools, but most of the funding just goes to them. County provides an improvement help as well, schools. Then the second largest component there is adult social care. So this is typically for older folk who are in need of care and cannot afford to pay for it themselves. So that's about 400 million a year. The next largest and also very, very important is taking children into care and looking after them. And then I'm afraid in terms of also looking after young people with learning difficulties, that's another special needs, which is another place where lots of council taxpayers' money goes. And then smaller by far, but seen much more by residents, is the maintenance of the roads.
Yeah. I mean, potholes is a particularly contentious issue at the moment.
It is, yes. I mean, I can just say a bit about potholes. The it is a problem, and of course, when you've had such a long winter as we've had this year, they're continually opening up again. You know, you get some, it's rained a lot and then it's frozen at night, and it lifts them and creates a real problem. But what I'd say on that is we're getting round to doing them, and it would help enormously if people were to report them themselves when they see them, because there is a system on the county council website, very simple to do, or you can call an 0300 number as well to report them if you're not good at using a form.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is it's very difficult when you, because I think that most residents discover potholes when they actually drive over them.
That's right. Yes,
and it's very difficult, I suppose, to report something.
It is.
You know, when you're driving, remembering where it was is. And all the rest of it. I mean, what would you say to that?
Well, no, that's true. That's absolutely true. Well, if we all reported those near our home that we where we're walking around, that would be a good start. But that's something I do. Is, you know, I make it my business to look around for potholes. And, sure. I mean, but that's part of the job.
Sure. I mean, and I suppose the council can't be expected to resolve an issue if they're not aware of it in the first place.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So, and of course, our staff do look around as well, but, you know, they can't be everywhere. And the potholes do appear very, very quickly.
Yeah, mm. they do. Now, I'm a borough councillor only, but you're a borough councillor and a county councillor.
Yeah.
What is the benefit of... that's referred to as a dual hatter. Yeah. What is the benefit of being a dual hatter?
Well, the benefits to the public, to the council taxpayers, what we want to talk about. And there, the first is that they've only got one person to come to, and I should be able to, and I will, direct them to the right person to get any problems sorted out. The second benefit is that because I've been a borough councillor for 10 years and a county councillor now for 4 years, that background means that, you know, I know how councils work, and I know which council provides what service. And furthermore, what I'm able to do is bring, and I think this is a very important point, able to bring county and borough councils together in partnership. It's something that that both are trying to do more, but they don't always have the right connections. And you know, I can talk about some things I've done there, for instance.
Brilliant. Now, what would you say in your first term, in your first 4 years, and we're talking about the county now rather than the borough,
yes,
what would you say are your major achievements?
Well, I think I will talk about what I've done at the borough, because they're more substantial, and I'll come back to the county. So I would say the big thing is that that I've done is get some focus on speed management. When I was elected 10 years ago, and I was going around asking people's opinion about issues that they faced, it turned out that that they perceived a lot of speeding drivers around, and that frightened them. And in particular, it was mums pushing children to school that were worried about it. And in fact, that issue comes top whenever we do a safety survey of the populace, of the residents, and that. And that's done by the borough council every few years, so it's top in every ward. And the anomaly I noticed was that although that was the big concern people had, when I looked at the police action plan, it didn't mention speed at all. And so what I did about that was I contacted the chairman of the police commission, as it was then, and told him about it, and then I continued to pursue that over a number of planning cycles, because they didn't get it right for quite a while. But now, and largely thanks to the Drive Smart campaign, the police do take it very seriously, and it's one of their key performance indicators is how the public perceive speeding. And I just make one point about that, and that is that as in everything else really, perception is everything. And if you're a pedestrian, you'll perceive the speed of a passing vehicle to be actually much higher than it is if you're sitting in the car, and I know that from being out with the police with their radar guns. So I think the message really is for us all is to remember that if you're driving even at a moderate speed, it can cause anxiety in pedestrians. And after all, you know, if you're driving down a residential road, I did the sums recently, it only takes 15 seconds more to drive a quarter of a mile at 20 miles an hour than it does at 30 miles an hour, and it really impacts on pedestrians who are around. So I make a habit of doing that.
But yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned that the police weren't really sort of factoring that in at the time.
No.
But they most certainly are now. I mean,
they
if
are.
You ask any, or if you ask our police neighbourhood inspector,
yes,
what the number one issue is, he'll tell you that it's antisocial behaviour with vehicles.
Yes, that's right. And that has changed over the years, because when I started 10 years ago, it was speeding. There weren't mobile phones available. But now, of course, mobile phones are there. And in fact, the police now give out more tickets for people driving whilst using the mobile phone than they do on speeding. And they're also very hot on not fitting seat belts, which is sensible. I mean, that's also a very good thing.
So that's your achievements over your first term. If you get
I mean, there are others, but...
Of course,
yes.
Of course, I know that. I mean, you and I serve together on a number of scrutiny committees.
That's
and
right,
I
yes.
see you in action. I've learnt a lot from you in
the last
couple of years.
Oh, that's
great
kind of you to say
now, so that's your first year. If you get elected in your second term, now you know what you know. You've had 4 years in post. What do you hope to achieve in your second term?
Yes, I mean, what you imply there is a huge amount to learn when you become a county councillor.
And a borough councillor.
And a borough councillor, yes, that's absolutely true. So I'd say in two areas that I'm going to concentrate on. One is on the health service in our area and across Surrey. And the second is our schools.
I mean, but on the first point. Mm. That's a big topic at the moment, because we've now brought in the clinical commissioning groups.
That's right.
Which have taken over from the primary care trusts.
Yes.
So just explain a little bit about that.
Yes, I mean, as you rightly say, that's a fundamental change. So it's a change that puts doctors, you know, GPs, at the centre of the health service. So they're in a position now where they can commission services, so they can decide what services the acute trust like Frimley Park will provide. So it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, but it's you know, it's not going to be without its difficulties. So I'm very pleased that I will be the chairman of the Health Overview and Scrutiny Committee at the county when we resume, assuming I get elected. And so I'll be in a position there to do what I can to assure that the different parts of the health service fit together, and if they don't, you know, to raise that to higher levels.
Yeah, well, actually, you mentioned we mentioned earlier about the benefits of having a dual hat. I think
yes.
that's definitely
yes.
one of them.
I mean,
we talk quite often at the scrutiny committees about, especially external partnerships,
yeah.
about the health service. In fact, we had the doctor there who's the
yes.
chairman of the clinical commissioning group at our last scrutiny committee.
That's right.
So I suppose that is a major benefit.
Yes, that's Dr. Andrew Brooks is the local chairman. Yes, I can, going back to something I alluded to earlier, you know, in terms of helping to get people together, county and borough people together, give the example of the county people responsible for adult social care. And so they have a strong link up to the hospitals, because when the hospitals judge that a person is fit to leave, to be discharged, then often they have to go into some sort of care situation. So that those are two legs on the stool. The third leg on the stool is often the borough services for the community. So that service provides the sort of thing that will make it easier for a person to go and live at home rather than have to stay in hospital.
I mean, it's recognised that is the best outcome for all concerned,
and in
terms of saving money. I know it's not always
yeah.
about saving money.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's
but,
not
but
about
it is
saving
a benefit.
Money. It is yes. So the sort of things that the borough provides are stairs for people. Oh, sorry, stair lifts for people who can't use the stairs anymore.
Access
and yeah, and all access. And also remote sensors, so people can be provided with all sorts of electronic gizmos that allow them to raise the alarm or for other people to notice that they're not behaving in the normal way.
Yeah, so, no, the home alarms there. I mean, I was a first responder for the ambulance service.
Oh, right.
And quite often when I arrived on scene, that was because somebody had activated their alarm, that pendant they wear around the neck. They press a button if they fall over and can't get themselves back up again.
Yeah.
So that's a function that the borough council...
That's right. And it's a good example of working together because the county council is setting up demonstrator facilities all around in each of the boroughs and districts in Surrey to show, you know, what are the devices that are available and how they can be used. So, you know, that's an example of working together.
Excellent. It's interesting, this discussion, because I don't think people... I certainly... Even every day I learn something that a function, particularly the county council, have.
Yes.
The remit is enormous.
It is very wide.
It's very, very wide. Now, we're going to wrap this up in a minute, Bill, but I just wanted to ask you if you've got any key messages that you'd like to get out to the community.
If I'm honoured to be elected again... as I mentioned, I'll be concentrating on the health service and also the other area of special interest for me are our schools, because I have a grandson who's at Crawley Ridge School, just started there, and I'm a governor at Cornwallis School on the Old Dean, and I know that what our schools do and the service they provide is very, very good, but it can be better, and it's going to be one of the drives that we as county councillors will be having over the next few years, is to become more involved in schools, and the county council will be providing an improvement officer for each school. And more than one in some instances. So
we've got some excellent schools. We have scored excellent in the categories of Ofsted, but even so, you're never too experienced to learn something. So
no.
I think that's a good move.
That's right, yes. And certainly I know from... I've not been a governor at Cornwallis for that long, just over a year, but I know from that getting in outside expertise can make a difference. You know, everyone learns and... Well, certainly I've been learning a lot from it. Yeah,
absolutely. And finally, social media is a matter, as you know, very close to my heart. I've managed to persuade you to launch a blog, which has been hugely successful in a very short space of time.
Yeah. No, well, yes, very many thanks to you, Paul, for helping me to get started on that. And it has been successful. I've got... just under 100 followers.
Which is actually, I mean, that in the grand scheme of things, when you consider the Resonance Network's got thousands of followers.
Yes.
But we've been going since 2003.
Yes.
We launched your blog,
November.
January? November, was it?
Yes. Right, so, okay. It's not long.
Not long at all.
No.
Which that's a huge achievement. And that's registered followers. You've got a lot more passive
followers. Oh, there are. Well. There are. There are lots of people who just tune in. Yeah,
it's
so
very useful. Very, very useful.
Well, what I've tried to do, I thought about what was I trying to achieve, and it's purely, to my mind, about informing residents about what's going on, in particular, you know, what the borough council's doing that will affect them, what the county council's doing that will affect them, and also community things that are going on as well, you know, like the fun day, that sort of thing.
If you don't mind me saying, I found one aspect as a deep cut resident that I found fantastic, and it was breaking news as well, was over Blackdown School, which broke on your blog.
It did, I can break news because, you know, I have access, it's public access actually to the papers for the
But they don't
executive.
Always pick up on it.
People
though, do
don't, they? No, but I make a point of reading, you know, what's coming up, and so I can do that on occasions. Oh, the M3, don't forget the M3.
Absolutely.
And Whiting and whatnot. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you want to be by creating the blog, you've done that to be more accessible and help inform residents of what's going on.
That's right. Yes, and I hope I'm getting people feeding back to me through the blog. Not as many as I'd like, But on the other hand, I do get a slew of emails. I get a massive number of emails.
And I suspect...
And that's I really welcome, because it can, you know, it does make all the difference to know what people are thinking.
Yeah, and I suspect, because I know how hard you and Vivian are working delivering your leaflets and canvassing and all the rest of it, I would imagine that you'll have an even bigger following by come May the 2nd.
Well, yes, I hope so.
Yes, well, Bill Chapman, thanks so much.
No, it's a pleasure.
I really hope you get elected.
Oh, thanks so much.
I've learned an enormous amount from you.
Oh, it's very kind of you.
You've been a mentor to me as a councillor. So,
you're very kind. Yeah, and thanks to you, Paul, well, for this and for all you've done to help me get launched on the blog thing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well done.